This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and a happy Friday, February 27th to you, or Saturday, February 28th. It's the last of the month. Hard to believe. Can you really believe it? Honestly, can you really believe that February has pretty much wrapped up this weekend and March is just around the corner? But that old stinking groundhog from Pennsylvania was exactly right when he saw his shadow and predicted six more weeks of winter, because we've definitely seen some of that white stuff again this week and caused a little bit of hassle. But, you know, it's just par for the course. It's winter in Indiana. It is what it is. Jim Inman here in the studio. Glad you are joining us here on the weekend start off. And, of course, if you're catching us Friday night, lots of action coming up in just a few minutes. We've got high school boys basketball with Warren Central coming to Bloomington High School South tonight. Joe Smith and the boys will have Chalk Talk right after the show at 7 o'clock. Tip-off for that is at 7:30 tonight. And then this is the last game here on WGCL, and then we get into sectional coverage, which we'll talk about more as we get into sports later on in the show. Thanks again to everybody who tuned in last week to the program with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. The second anniversary luncheon and event took place on Tuesday this week. They had over 50 people attend, one of the biggest crowds they'd ever had. And I think a few of you out there listened, actually followed our advice and headed out to the Legion on Tuesday and enjoyed that presentation. So thanks again to the guys who came out for that and for our listeners who followed up and enjoyed an afternoon with the Monroe County History Club. Mr. Pillar continues to be on assignment. He and I were texting earlier, and he sends his regrets, but hopefully he will be back in the studio very, very soon. Doing a little pitch hitting for me this week is my friend Joshua James. Joshua is going to be part of the Bowl for Kids' Sake for the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Indiana and of Bloomington. That's taking place on Saturday this weekend. And so he's coming in to talk a little bit about his experience with that and how the community can get involved. There's still time to donate and support that wonderful organization. So Josh will be in here in just a little bit. And then later on in the show, we'll talk about some fun things that are coming up around Bloomington and Monroe County as well. Lots of things on the sports side to remind you of. I know it was a tough week for the Hoosiers, losing to Northwestern, and I don't know what else to add to that. So we've got a couple more games in the season here, and then we'll see how things shake out in the Big Ten tournament up in Chicago. Trying to think what else. Oh, this is big. This is great. This is big, great news. March Madness, speaking of basketball, is coming to WGCL, and we're going to have all of the tournament action here on the air. That means 96.1 FM and AM 1370 WGCL. So this is all going to start on Thursday, March 19th at noon. We'll be interrupting our regular coverage with Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity for that to cover the tournament. And we're going to take you from the first game all the way to the national championship game on Monday, April 6th. So all of that can be heard. Dial in your radio, 1370 on the AM side, 96.1 on the FM side of things. Going to be a great opportunity to catch the game, and especially if you're traveling and all of that, tune in here to WGCL for that information. I think we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get you a forecast for the week and give you some news updates that have taken place over the last several days. Again, if you miss any part of the show, head over to WGCLradio.com. You can also go there and listen to other shows and other broadcasts and all the good stuff that airs here on WGCL. Also, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check that out, and we've got some information over there for our listeners as well. Taking a break. Come back with more. Stay with us right here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to The Bloomington Review. Here is Jim Inman here on your Friday night or Saturday morning. And if you are here on the Friday show, be sure to stay with us because we got high school boys of basketball wrapping up the season here on WGCL. The forecast is not beautiful. Let's just be honest. It's not. It's not. It's not. Tonight, Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 2. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 26, so a little bit better. But the wind chill is going to take it down to around negative 8. Saturday night, 60% chance of snow, mainly after 1 a.m., low around 26. Then on Sunday, rain and snow likely, possibly mixed with freezing rain, becoming all rain in the early afternoon. Cloudy with a high near 37 on Sunday. A little bit of the brighter news, though, is that the temperatures are warming up into the 40s early next week. At least that's what the prediction is right now. All your weather, all the time, here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Kyle Hutton was found guilty on January 29th by a 12-person jury of driving drunk and causing a wreck that killed his wife, Morgan Hutton, and his friends Desan Spires and Laura Duncan. He was convicted of three counts of causing death when operating a motor vehicle with an alcohol concentration equivalent of 0.15% or more, all Class B felonies. He was sentenced this week on Tuesday to a four-decade prison term. Judge Robbins sentenced the 33-year-old to 14 years on each count to be served consecutively for a total of 42 years with the Indiana Department of Correction. 2 years will be suspended to supervised probation. Also, Hutton's driver's license has been suspended for 5 years for each count, totaling 15 years, which started that day of the sentencing. He has received credit for 270 days already served. Hutton, who has maintained throughout this trial that he was not at the wheel when a fatal wreck occurred, testified during Tuesday's hearing in Lawrence Superior Court 1, and during his 8-day trial last month, Hutton testified that his wife was driving when the accident occurred, and according to trial testimony, the two couples had been drinking all afternoon and evening the day of the accident. On the local scene, flexibility and a better way to fund bigger projects, that's what a consolidated tax increment financing district would give the city of Bloomington. Those are also known as TIFs. According to the Herald Times, if the Bloomington City Council approves the TIF district consolidation and the expected $48 million bond it would bring, its role would then end, which had many council members urging an increase in communication, after the consolidation is complete. The proposal before the council on Wednesday this week was to combine and expand five of the city's six TIF districts. That includes downtown, Adams Crossing, Whitehall, Tap Road, and Thompson, Walnut, and Winslow, increasing the TIF space from about 2.5 square miles to about 4.5 square miles. A combined TIF, or as Councilmember Steve Volan called it, a, quote, super TIF, would extend the life of the city's oldest districts, which would expire in 2025 under new state laws. It would also add areas like the West 3rd Street corridor or the southern end of Walnut Street that are redevelopment targets, but not in an existing TIF district. Now, this article from the Herald Times says that perhaps the biggest benefit, according to city officials, is the funding potential. The combined district gives the city more ability to issue bonds for large price tag objects, or projects rather, three of which are outlined in the plan. Those include the Switchyard Park, the Certified Tech Park, and the Bloomington Monroe County Convention Center. City Planning and Transportation Director Tom Acuda said in the article that money could go to the redevelopment of the IU Health Bloomington Hospital site or a variety of other projects that weren't specifically mentioned. Projects in the TIF districts are entirely controlled by the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission, which approves, prioritizes, and generally oversees projects in the TIF districts. Though the commission gives annual reports to the council, other than bonding, the council plays no role in how the TIF districts are run. Somebody should have learned a lesson in law school, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Rhonda Foster said on Monday this week that she did not realize she was breaking the law when she used her Monroe County issued credit card. Love these things. We should all get one. Her Monroe County issued credit card for personal expenses since she repaid the money as soon as the bills came due. During a morning hearing in Monroe Circuit Court this week, the former county human resources director pled guilty to misdemeanor theft, got a suspended jail term, and agreed to complete 50 hours of community service. She has to pay $168 in court costs plus probation fees, according to the article in the Herald Times. Monroe Circuit Court Judge Teresa Harper accepted a plea agreement that dismissed two counts of theft and one count of official misconduct, all felonies. According to court records, Foster used the credit card to pay $600+ in property taxes in Howard County, $500 to Lowe's, and $500 to Macy's. Foster was charged with purchases made during November 2010. However, a 2012 Herald Times review of Visa statements from her office indicated her county credit card was used for other personal purchases as well. The review showed that Foster's personal charges began in September 2010 and continued through 2011. She resigned in January 2012 after allegations surfaced about the credit card misuse. By the way, Foster, who has no prior criminal record, told the judge she recently graduated from law school. A little bit of irony there. That's all we're saying. Happy times are taking place out at Meadowood and many other senior centers around the state of Indiana. Language in an alcohol-related bill would allow Meadowood Retirement Community and similar facilities to serve alcohol without having to obtain a state permit. That's important because it would keep Indiana excise police from busting happy hours that might occur at these places. This is going through the Indiana General Assembly. We've talked about it here on the show. State Representative Matt Pierce of Bloomington worked with Meadowood residents who wanted to continue Tuesday night wine night and Friday night socials without interference from the state. Pierce is quoted in the Herald Times as saying, "When people hear the story of excise police coming to take away alcohol from seniors, they get a chuckle. And then they all say, well, that's a little ridiculous, and understand that's not our best use of resources." So hopefully, when the language adds senior residence facility to places such as convention centers as locations that would not need an alcohol permit, there will be a little bit of celebrating at those senior centers. Finally, you know, we probably have all thought it at some point, but somebody's actually being proactive and actually doing this. A Massachusetts man is capitalizing on the snow-ravaged Northeast by selling and shipping snow to people in all parts of the country. We all know that the Northeast has been hit bad by snow, and it just keeps bringing ideas to people, including Kyle Waring, the founder of ShipSnowYo.com. USA Today had the article about Waring, and Waring told Boston.com he and his wife were tired of shoveling the snow in their yard when they came up with the idea to send it to some friends and family. Now, they won't ship it. They won't ship it to any of the states in the Northeast because they want to get rid of it, not keep moving it around in the area. He originally started offering 16.9-ounce snow-filled water bottles for $20. However, the snow melted by the time it reached the destination. No surprise. So what he's doing now? Listen to this. 6 pounds of snow available for $89. 10 pounds of snow, $119. And he has told Boston.com he's actually running out of the product. He said that they can usually get the product delivered to customers within 20 hours. They pack it in styrofoam so it stays in the consistency of snow. And then that's usually, depending on the volume that they get, anywhere from 10 to 15 good-size snowballs. So if you've got some styrofoam containers and you really want to be creative and make some money, then this is your opportunity. ShipSnowYo.com, the Hoosier version. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my friend Joshua James talking about the Big Brothers Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake this weekend here in Bloomington. Stay with us. Much more here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on your Friday night, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, glad you are joining us for the replay of the show, and I'm excited to have my friend in the studio, Mr. Joshua James, and he is competing this weekend in the Big Brothers Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake, correct?
That would be absolutely correct.
And I am very glad you came in on a Friday night also. I know you have other things going on, but
happy
I'm glad you
here.
Stopped by and said hello.
No, happy to be here.
Talk to me about your connection with Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I was actually thinking about this on the way over here since you'd asked me to come and talk a little bit about the organization and the event. And I honestly, looking back, I can't remember a year that I wasn't involved in some capacity, even
really?
Dating back to being in my hometown of Scottsburg, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, the basketball team would always support the event. We would have a team and we'd show up, and because the Scott County organization of Big Brothers Big Sisters obviously did the same thing, because the national organization is really who puts it on, and then each chapter is responsible for their own. But when I came to IU, I was actually working at the Boys and Girls Club. We had a team there. During my 3 years in law enforcement with IU and Bloomington PD, we had a team mm-hmm. every year I was involved there. And when I joined Bill C. Brown Associates, Danelle Whitmer, who's our community relations director, she had actually chaired the event a few years prior. And so she had always been a really, really big advocate for the event. So when I came on board, obviously I had a passion for it. And it kind of became a fun internal competition. Danelle would be a captain every year. I'd be a captain every year. So for the last 4 years, we've each had a team, and there has been internal office competitions there. One year, one team member did push down another team member after a ball went through down the alleyway. I mean, it gets
heated.
We don't play around. It gets intense.
Really?
Yeah, we don't play.
It's a good thing this happens on Saturday so everybody can have the rest of the weekend and lounge about. And...
Yeah, Sunday for some recuperation. So.
What do the funds that are raised go for? Any idea? I mean, what is it? Just is it overall service assistance or anything specific?
Well, the idea is that you're trying to support the matches. I forget what it is this year. I know in the past it obviously raises every year to some degree. It might be it's either $750 or $1,000 is what they say the actual cost for a match is, which is a big and a little each calendar year. So they always encourage, whether it's $750 or $1,000, like I said, I'm sorry, I can't remember, but those are the funds that they need support raising to allow that to happen, to allow those bigs to come into the lives of the littles and be there to support them and help them grow and just be that mentor that they need. So,
Joshua James here in the studio with us talking about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Bowl for Kids' Sake this weekend, this Saturday. So what time do you guys hit the alleys?
We're there from 12 to 1:30. I think we're the first group.
Okay. Yeah. And then those of you who don't know Joshua has been growing a beard over the last few weeks because there's a certain theme going on with the event this weekend?
Yeah, it's got a superhero theme. So Tim Steiner, who is, I think, the chair for the event, I think that's his title. He is the bone doctor. Of course, he's an orthopedic surgeon here in town. And so I was trying to figure out what to do, and I had actually kind of gone a couple weeks around the time of the kickoff without shaving, and I thought, I'm going to just kind of let this keep going. And as people started giving me a hard time about it, I was trying to figure out a way to keep it, and it just happened to coincide really nicely with this superhero theme that we have for Bowl for Kids' Sake. And I thought, well, why don't – and I really hope I don't offend anybody with this, but I'm going to be the Amish Avenger. So I've been called Yoder. I've been called a Mennonite. I've been – of course, all in love
all
and jest.
All in good, yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, so I've got this beard that really doesn't look very good on me personally. I'm sure it looks great on others.
How does your wife, Caitlin, feel about this?
You know, she really doesn't care. She's funny. Facial hair doesn't really bother her at all.
She's not the, you don't look the same as the day I married you or anything like, nothing like that?
No, not at all. She was actually the one, that was actually the reason I hadn't shaved initially, because she wanted me to not shave for a couple weeks and just see what it looked like.
Sure.
But I can't grow a mustache to save my life. So that's when you've got this kind of like around the chin and
right.
side of the face.
Right.
Beard.
See, you're the
on.
Exact opposite of me. If I want a 5 o'clock shadow for Christmas, I have to start now.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
I'm sure everybody remembers Adam Morrison, basketball player at Gonzaga, who just had that really empty, like wiry stash. Like, that's mine. It
yes,
just looks, it's not a
not
good
appropriate.
Look. No, not a good look.
You don't want to scare the little kids this
weekend. Well, I mean, that's kind of the opposite of the idea of this weekend. So
how many people do you have on your team?
You know, I know we've got somewhere around 14 or 15, which is pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
We've got the two teams of six or seven people, something like that. Everybody's been involved. You know, one of the guys in our office, Al Gallo. Al's been with us, I mean, 50-something years. Al's in his early 80s. Just an awesome guy. And he's raised more this year than I think he has any of the years I've been there. So it's just really,
really
neat to see people really stepping up and supporting the organization. And it's been a lot of fun. There's been some good trash talk inside the office.
And this is this largely the people participating in this, it's through their businesses, their employers who are putting together teams. Because it's a fun day for coworkers to do something.
Right, and you've got the Community Bowl and then the IU Bowl. So there's really two different facets to
it. Oh, I didn't know there was an IU version going on as well.
Yeah, the IU version is directly for all the students.
Okay.
So they're doing their own, you know, a lot of it's the Greek, the fraternities and the sororities and other students there at the university and other organizations through the university. And then you have the Community Bowl side,
mm-hmm.
which is your business and your individuals that just really wanted to put together a team and participate. I know when I looked earlier, Dr. Steiner's team was there in the lead as far as their team, and Old National's really done a great job this year. They were in second, and our team as a whole was in third. So we're really hoping we can catch up to the our friends over at Old National before it's all said and done.
So Joshua and I had the good fortune of playing on the Dolls and Kickballs team this fall. There is no skill set comparison between bowling and kickball, I know, but still, it's kickball was a good experience, and I'm sure that this weekend will be as well.
Yeah, it the kickball season is an absolute blast.
Which is revving up very soon, I believe.
It is. I think we're starting the end of March. And the funny thing about that, and if you guys haven't checked out the Adult Sports Club that Steve Casper puts on, it's absolutely fantastic, and you definitely should. But, you know, my wife never played any, like, team sports growing up. She was a cheerleader and did that kind of stuff and had some great relationships there, but never did basketball or softball or anything like that. So when I said I was going to do this, she was really interested. And the reason why, she said, that's a PE sport. I'm excited about trying that. And so she did, and she loved it. And she had so much, and we had so much fun together. So definitely for couples. I mean, just you know, singles or couples or whoever, it's an absolute blast. We had a good time.
Well, again, this weekend out at, where are you guys bowling at?
Classic Lanes.
Classic?
Up
okay.
there on, was it 1600 North Willis?
Sounds.
Or somewhere in that
something,
ballpark.
Yes. Somewhere on, I don't even know what side of town you technically call that. Northwest?
Yeah.
Corner
They're
kind
right
of thing.
Off 17th Street.
But it's the 2015 Bowl for Kids' Sake. And if you haven't registered for a team, probably too late to do anything like that. But there are, if you go to biggsindiana.org, you can look at all the information there, donation opportunities, things like that. And just a great event. Keep the community involved and all that good stuff. So
absolutely.
And what kind of preparation, I'll ask you the last question, what kind of preparation are you going to do personally before you step up to the lane?
Well, I mean, you know, you really got to get your mind right. It's kind of like a batter stepping into the box, and you know, you really stare down those pins and just get prepared to knock them all
down.
Well,
I'm thinking more of their, like, thumb exercises that you're going to be involved
well,
in.
Well, you know, going back to what I said earlier, I think a lot of it's looking over your shoulder and making sure one of those competitors from our inner office competition isn't there to take your legs out from under you. But in all seriousness, it's an absolute blast. They do a really great job throughout the event when you're there. Of really promoting just the fun of it. They'll stop everybody. They'll come over the microphone and they'll say, okay, everybody step up and turn around and bowl it between your legs and you know, stuff like that. And
yeah.
Just to keep it different, keep it fun. I don't think we've ever bowled. You know, you're there for an hour and a half, and we typically barely get through one game, usually a game and a quarter. I mean, just because the focus is really the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's every session they end up doing, or at least in the past, there's always been a hula hoop competition, and there's been a what do you call it when everybody's a limbo competition.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that's just, so it's just random and it's fun and it's a great thing to be a part of. And you know, like you said, it's definitely too late probably to get a team put in at this point, but if you're not involved this year, I mean, I don't know what you're doing. Get involved next year.
And just go out and watch it. I mean, I'm sure that they'll open the doors up. Anybody wants to go watch and have a good time, check it out. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with the show. Mr. James, very much appreciated.
Happy to be here.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back in a few. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here, and thanks again to Joshua James talking about the Bowl for Kids' Sake this weekend. There's a lot of things going on coming up in the not-too-distant future, and wanted to share a few things here in the Bloomington Review this week. Saturday, today, for catching us on the replay, out at College Mall beginning at 10 o'clock this morning is the Summer Camps kickoff and Lemonade Day registration. So we've talked about Bloomington Lemonade Day in the past. Our own David Hayes from Your Money with David Hayes has been one of their crusaders over the last couple of years. And we're kicking off summer camps for kids in the community and also Lemonade Day registration. So youth serving agencies in Monroe County are going to be available to share about their opportunities for summer camp, things like that. It's put on by the Bloomington After School Network, the BASN, Saturday, February 28th, 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock, free out at the College Mall atrium. So if you go out there and sign up, make sure that you get the kids involved with Lemonade Day. If you're unfamiliar with it, the concept is that kids seek out local businesses, local professionals, and get some financial backing to put up a lemonade stand. Very simple concept, but the idea being that the kids earn the money, so to speak, through their work, their endeavors, and then when they have the lemonade day, the funds that are raised, portions of that go back to the investors, portions go to charities, different things like that. So if your kids are a little bit business-minded, a little bit proactive about those kinds of things, go out to the mall on Saturday and check that stuff out. from our friend Julie Warren at visitbloomington.com. The Friday info line, if you will. Devour Bloomington is taking place all weekend long. And this is a 12-day event, but it's starting this weekend. And what it is that anyone can go experience meals at over 40 different restaurants in Bloomington at a value-priced system. So you can go to different restaurants, look for the Devour menu. You can also visit devourbtown.org for a complete list of restaurants. There's no cost involved other than your meal itself. So devourbtown.org. It's a 12-day experience, and you can go try some new restaurants that you've never been to before. And especially if it is a little bit of a higher price experience, this is your chance to go at a little bit lesser rate and get the full effect of what's available. Romeo and Juliet, Friday tonight and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. out at the IU Theater on campus. It is at the Ruth Inn Halls Theater, telling the love story of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. $25 for adults, $20 for seniors, and $15 for students at IU. And then also this weekend at the IU MAC, Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., and then a Sunday 2 o'clock matinee is Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. It's performed by the Jacobs School of Music Opera Program, and it's set back in World War II in the South Pacific with love stories and all kinds of different things. It's a great musical, South Pacific, so if you want to get a little bit of culture this weekend from the Minister of Culture, check that out as well. And then on Sunday, March 1st, can you believe it's March? Ansel Adams, there's a film and reception. You can see a collection of Ansel Adams' intimate macro photographs, plus a viewing of the film The Incisive Art, Ansel Adams, and a reception celebrating the Sycamore Land Trust 25th anniversary. All of that's taking place at the IU Art Museum, free to the public. Again, Sunday at 2 o'clock on the IU campus at the IU Art Museum. And don't forget that next week is the 2015 Indiana Heritage Quilt Show, taking place out at the Bloomington Monroe County Convention Center, March 5th, 6th, and 7th. And they are a sponsor of the show, and we are very appreciative of that. You can learn more and register for workshops and the event at ihqs.org. Again, ihqs.org, the Indiana Heritage Quilt Show, March 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Convention Center. Switching gears real quick, because this is something that came across my news feed on Facebook a few days back, and I thought it was kind of important to share because this is going to apply to a lot of people in my age group, in the 30s, 40s. Those of us who, when we were kids or young adults, moms and dads or grandparents had those big set-it-on-your-shoulder video cameras, you know, the old VHS type that you can record two and a half hours of stuff. You took it on vacations and all of that. But also it ties in with photography as well. And the reason I bring this up, there was an article on cameras.reviewed.com talking about preserving memories. There's an phenomenon, as they call it, called software rot. Now, there's data rot, where your CDs and your VHS tapes just don't play anymore. That's one thing. Software rot is completely different, because instead of having the physical degradation, software rot is defined as data that becomes unusable as the hardware and software required to access it disappears. Think about it this way. How many of you 15, 20 years ago wrote a story, worked on something for high school or college on a word processor, and you had the old floppy disk or three and a half floppy disk or something like that that fit into the word processor? That was how you preserved that. Let's say, for example, that when you did that 10, 20 years ago, that you wrote a story about your family. You had some article about your grandparents and their marriage or something like that. Can you access that story today? Probably not. You might be able to find something on eBay, but for the most part, you're kind of stuck at this point. That is what software rot is. So this is becoming faster and faster. Computing technology and advances, we all know, seems just to keep speeding up more and more. And previously digitized information is quickly becoming unreadable simply because the file formats and the associated hardware and software no longer exist. There's a potential for, I know this sounds odd, but I'm telling you, this is legit. There's a potential for a mass digital media apocalypse in the future because current media is going to be inaccessible to future generations and basically create a digital dark age. In short, what this article says is some of the best things that you can do, print things out, hard copy. We're talking about video, that's going to be a little bit more of a challenge. Perhaps you can put things on an external hard drive and digitize it. You may put things on YouTube or something like that as well so that it is online and viewable. But you've got to make sure that those things are accessible down the line or you convert or update, whatever the case may be, because digital media is not necessarily safe forever, especially if you have photos, even if you print them on just plain white paper. Number one, white paper ages. Number two, you spill water or something on it, you've ruined the photo. And so just something to think about as you move forward. But in these winter months, I know been doing some things in my mom's house and pulling out some old VHS tapes and things like that. You can still find, if you search really well, like a DVD VHS converter, so you can get those old VHS tapes onto digital. Might be something to do on a cold winter's day. That's all I'm saying. We're going to take a break, get you back with some sports, and then wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Lots of things to talk about here on the sports section of the Bloomington Review. As I mentioned early on in the show, March Madness, it's coming right here to WGCL. We're going to have all your tournament action carried here on the air, 96.1 FM and AM 1370. These games are not going to be streaming. It's only going to be on your dial, on your radio. Coverage begins for the tournament on Thursday, March 19th at noon. We'll be preempting our regular coverage with Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity on the 19th and 20th of March to cover the NCAA tournament. And we will have everything from the opening game and the opening tip all the way through the national championship game on Monday, April 6th. So those of you who won't be able to get in front of your televisions, dial in at your work. We'll have it all right here at WGCL. As I mentioned earlier, it was a rough week for the Hoosiers. They lost to Northwestern at Northwestern, 72-65 this week. Next games that we've got here for the Hoosiers are Tuesday night, the 3rd of March. Iowa is coming to Bloomington for a 7 o'clock tip. And then on March 7th, last game in the season, regular season, I should say, Michigan State coming to Bloomington for a 12 o'clock game there. From that point, we head up to Chicago for the Big Ten tournament, and that starts on March 11th. So just a couple games left for the Hoosiers. It's going to be interesting to see how things shake out with the tournament. I don't think I'm announcing any surprises or anything like that. Chuck Crabb and Glass talked about it on Friday morning on Glass in the Morning. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of things to talk about, and we hope that we see some good things over the next couple of games. IU baseball, they're 3-3 right now in the season. Actually, they've got a game coming up in just a few minutes as well on Friday night. They have three games over the next 4 days, starting tonight in South Carolina. And then next week they'll be in Florida for four games. They've got a rough schedule. I mean, Florida and then, or excuse me, South Carolina, then on to Florida. But they'll finally make it back to the BART on March 10th. Eastern Michigan will be coming to Bloomington for that game there. As I mentioned, tonight is high school boys basketball. Last game of the regular season here on WGCL, Warren Central at Bloomington High School South. Joe Smith will have Chalk Talk here in just a few minutes at 7 o'clock. Tip o'clock tip off for that is at 7:30 tonight. And then a couple other things here to mention as well. With the Hoosiers and the Big Ten tournament that I mentioned a couple minutes ago, they're going to have three sets of alternate uniforms to choose from when they play in the Big Ten tournament. The new uniforms differ a little bit from the current traditional set. They're going to have five stars embroidered just below the waistband of the shorts to represent the Hoosiers' five national championships. And then beyond the red and white uniforms, Adidas has introduced a cream option as well. Now, Indiana also wore Adidas alternates during last year's conference tournament. However, those were a much more visible departure from the new sets. Fred Glass said in a statement that we're pleased once again to work with our athletic apparel partner, Adidas, to have a special uniform for the Big Ten tournament. And looking forward to a little bit of the throwback options and especially the recognition of the five national championships. So if you're watching the game, you're going to see a little bit of new stuff on the Hoosiers this when we get into the Big Ten tournament. IHSAA, we've got the announcement for the boys' basketball sectional pairings. I'm here to share with you Class 4A sectional at Bloomington South. It's host Bloomington South versus Columbus North and Bloomington North versus Shelbyville in the opening round. East Central, which will face the Bloomington North Shelby winner, and Columbus East, which will face either South or Columbus North, got the byes into the semifinals. Class 3A sectional, that's going to be at West Vigo. The Edgewood Mustangs is the three-time defending sectional titleist. However, they couldn't keep Brown County from winning an outright Western Indiana Conference title on the Mustangs court. Edgewood has another crack at the Eagles in the semifinals. Owen Valley is going to face the winner of the first round opener, pitting the host Vikings against Northview. So we'll keep you updated on all of those things as we keep moving forward on the boys' sectionals. And finally, a couple of quick shout-outs to a couple young men that I know from Edgewood, Gabe Kuntz, and from Bloomington South, Griffin Shermer. Phenomenal runs with their years of wrestling. Griffin came in seventh in the state in his division, and I wish I had Gabe's number in front of me. I think Gabe came in fifth overall. Griffin is going to be wrestling for Wabash College when he heads that way this coming fall, and Gabe Kuntz is going to be a Hoosier wrestler this coming fall as well. Great parents, George and Betty Shermer, good friends of mine, and Nate and Joni Kuntz, just good people, and it's great to see the support that these two young men and all of the programs that support our kids and their sports and their athletics. Not trying to exclude anyone, but when I've seen these kids over many years, and especially Griffin, watching him grow up, just a good kid, and really looking forward to the next things that come their way. So congratulations to them at the state wrestling tournament this past weekend and the great job that they've done all season long. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on your Friday night or Saturday morning, and thanks so much for tuning in to WGCL Radio. You know, if you haven't heard, WGCLRadio.com, we're streaming over there 24/7. If you miss any part of the show, if you want to catch up on other local shows here on the station, head over to WGCLRadio.com, click on the Listen Now link, and you can listen to whatever's on the online stream. Or you can catch up on the past shows as well. All of that stuff is available right there for you. Forecast for the weekend. As I mentioned earlier, it's not great, but it could be worse. It could always be worse, couldn't it? I think so. Could be. Maybe not. Forecast for the weekend. Tonight, Friday night, is a partly cloudy, low around 2. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 26. Wind chill is going to knock it down to make it feel like negative 8. Saturday night, 60% chance of snow, mainly after 1 a.m., with cloudy with a low around 26. Then on Sunday, rain and snow likely, possibly mixed with freezing rain, becoming all rain after 1 p.m., cloudy with a high near 37. And then if you're looking forward to some warmer weather and potential for some things to, for the snow to melt off, well, we're probably in luck as the temperatures are warming into the 40s early next week. Again, all your weather, all the time, WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Thanks again to Joshua James, my buddy, for pinch hitting tonight and coming in on the show and talking about the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Bowl for Kids' Sake, taking place on Saturday. And don't forget also, Lemonade Day registration and information is available on Saturday, 10 to 2. Out at the atrium at College Mall on the east side of Bloomington. So a couple months or so back, I ditched my satellite service and have gone to streaming television, and kind of like the way that the bill feels, but I missed out on some things, and I missed out on the Oscars this year. Of course, you know, that all plays out on YouTube and online, everything pretty much instantly as well, but catching it over the next day or so afterwards. Neil Patrick Harris, Doogie Howser was the host this year, and from what I understand, he didn't do the best of jobs, but he didn't do the worst of jobs either. It's hard to be that entertaining, I'm sure, in that forum where you have millions, if I think even billions, have watched the Oscars. So, but I haven't seen Birdman yet, and I think the big thing that I heard about with Neil Patrick Harris was that he came out in his tighty-whitey boxer shorts or something like that, because that was came from a scene in Birdman. I'm not sure. J.K. Simmons was the winner for actor in a best supporting role. He is the guy who does those insurance commercials, always in the sport coat and the vest and, you know, the crazy scenes that are taking place. He's that guy. I'm kind of amazed that that Oscar winner now has done those kinds of things. Patricia Arquette won for her role in Boyhood and had some interesting comments in her Oscar acceptance speech. Animated short film Feast was the winner. Big Hero 6 was the animated feature film, full-length film winner. Then if you get into, what was the other part I want to talk about? Oh, Best Actor went to Eddie Redmayne from The Theory of Everything, and he was he portrayed Stephen Hawking there. A lot of people thought Michael Keaton was going to win, and then there was the buzz, if you will, that the video camera caught of Michael Keaton holding his speech in his hand, and it was announced that he was not the winner. Then he put it in his pocket in his coat and glanced down for a second. And they were saying, the media was saying, oh, it's so sad, and he was so disturbed about it. Maybe the guy was just trying to put the stuff away so he could clap for the guy who won. I don't know. It's just the drama of the Oscars kind of thing. Best Actress went to Julianne Moore for Still Alice. And Best Picture, as I mentioned, was Birdman. A lot of talk this year about several of the films. Boyhood, which was filmed over a many, many year spectrum. The American Sniper also has received a lot of publicity, and Selma as well. But it's been a while since I've been to a good movie. And when the Oscars come out, it's always nice to hear that these are the good ones to check out, so that when it is a cold, snowy night, you can dial in on your television and find something on the stream or anything like that. So anyway, just a quick Oscar rundown. I know that Mr. Piller and his wife, Kelly, would have probably done a better job with all of that, but since they aren't in the studio, you kind of have to work with what you've got and make the most of it. Thanks again to everybody for tuning in this week, and a little bit of an improvised show because of schedules changing at the last minute, but hopefully you had a good time. If you're catching us again on Friday night, stay with us for high school boys basketball, and if you're catching us Saturday morning, Your Money with David Hayes immediately after. Don't forget also to head out to the Indiana Heritage Quilt Show March 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Bloomington Convention Center. You can learn more at ihqs.org. Again, ihqs.org. And if you see my mom out there, tell her, don't buy me anything. She can buy for herself. I don't need anything at the quilt show. Everybody stay warm, stay safe, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.